It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
From baseball's top personalities,
the Hall of Famer, one of the great TV broadcasters, Bob Costas, is here on A's Cast Live.
To the A's legendary players,
five-time Major League Baseball home run champ, Mark McGwire, is with us here.
You never know what stories you're going to hear.
We used to come out here to lunch and run with our shirts off.
You and Sandy.
This is A's Unfiltered with Chris Townsend.
Time now for another edition of A's Unfiltered with Chris Townsend. And these are interviews that we have done on A's Cast Live. Guy having the best year for the A's on the bump, Paul Blackburn's going to join us. Jonah Bride, who's been a great story, and also a great story, Jared Koenig. But let's start with the guy who probably is going to be in the All-Star game for the Athletics. Here, Paulie Winday, Paul Blackburn. Well, we have a new nickname for him. I don't think we've told Mr. Blackburn about his new nickname, have we?
I don't think we've seen him since
I mean,
then.
I might. You can have it. You can sell T-shirts. But when you pitch, we call it Paulie Winday.
I have not heard that. No, but I like it.
I mean
that's the goal every day. So
that's
so
my
not?
Gift to you, Paulie Winday.
Thank you.
Ride that to a bobblehead, to T-shirts, whatever you want to do. It is great to have you on the program. Another fantastic outing yesterday. And you look great on the mound. Just talk about the confidence you have, because we can see it.
Yeah. It's a lot easier to gain confidence when things are going your way and you're pitching well. But I just feel like no matter who's in the box, I'm going to get you out. Like, that's kind of where I am right now, just like mentally, like, I believe my stuff. I believe every single pitch I throw. I'm 100% behind every pitch I throw mentally. And yeah, it's been working out that way.
Isn't it amazing conviction? It's like you can have the greatest stuff in the world, but if you don't believe in it, especially in pressure situations, it doesn't matter. And you may not have the best stuff in the world, but if you believe in it, it works.
Yeah, no, it does. And it's funny, like, you know, I feel like a lot of times you hear when people have big accomplishments, you hear them like, oh, like, it's all about belief. Like, if you believe, you believe. And, like, you hear that and you're like, okay, but a little more goes into it. But, like, as soon as you do start kind of believing, it makes everything else in your body believe too. And, like, to me, that's just kind of where I've been this year. Like, I just feel like anytime at any pitch I throw, that you're not going to hit it.
Okay, let before we get into the mental side, let's go physical side. Take us through difference in whether – we've heard a lot of different things. You know, when you have a good season, a lot of people start talking about a lot of different things. So how much did you change grip, curveball, slider, cutter, just physically, what are changes or maybe tweaks that you've done?
Yeah, so one of the biggest tweaks I think this year for me that's helped me, Sam – one of our analytical people, she, on my four seam in spring and honestly through my whole career, I guess my wrist wasn't neutral. I was essentially, my wrist was pointed up and I was cutting my four seam a lot. I wasn't staying behind it. And, you know, we talked in spring training and she told me to, you know, she told me my wrist is pointed up. You need to have a more neutral to stay behind the ball, create better life. And so I worked on that. This was towards the end of spring training, worked on that. The last couple days about keeping my wrist neutral, and it's helped my four-seam a lot this year. I've never thrown as many four-seams as I had this year.
Did you feel it? Like, when she told you, did you have that feeling? You go, okay.
So essentially we're throwing bullpens. You know, they have an iPad, and they have, you know, your horizontal break, your vertical break, all this stuff. They have, like, your wrist position. And I was looking at it, and there was, like, four or five pitches where my wrist position was straight out 12, and everything else was in between, like, 1.5 and 2. And so I was like, those are my four seams? And she was like, yes, like, that's why you're cutting them. And I thought I was under the ball. So I'm trying to, in my head, I was trying to correct something, but I was going the opposite way. So essentially I was hurting myself going this way instead of allowing myself to be more neutral with it and more loose.
It makes sense. It's like even though your feels and the reality of what's going on don't always work together. Yeah. It's when they both come together, when you're feeling it, you know what's going on, and the science and the feelings together. But sometimes your feeling and the science are two opposite things. Talk about the breaking balls.
Honestly, I haven't really changed much on my curveball. If anything, I've probably gripped it a little harder this year. You know, I have been working with like a slider. It's a big sweepy slider. It's kind of like my curveball. I throw it maybe 4 or 5 times an outing just to give hitters a different look. That way, like they have to be conscious of my curveball. That's more like top to bottom. My slider that is like more sweepy. So it's just more of like a different look for them. But as far as like grip goes, all my grips really the same. Like a lot of it's just been mentality for me with my curveball. And now, obviously, like I said, seeing results with it like gives you a little more confidence with it, gives you just a little more conviction behind it. But a lot of the stuff that I've done has been more mentality-wise.
One of my favorite things, we're going to start dealing with StatCast, cutter versus just it's a natural cut. What is it for you?
Mine's a cutter.
Okay.
Mine's a cutter. It's probably more slider-ish. If you talk to the analytical department.
See, this is what I love is because StatCast is going to say he throws cutter this many times, slider bit, and they cut, and then you talk to someone, they go, well, I really don't throw that. You know,
mine's mine essentially is a cutter and a slider. If I go up with it, when I go up and into lefties, you're going to get more of a horizontal. I'm not going to get
the
vertical depth. Yeah. And that's going to be the cutter. Now, when I go down and away to righties with it, it's going to have a little bit of slide to it. And so that's just how it comes out. Like I'm thinking fastball the whole time, but once I start thinking like, oh, I want it to cut when I'm going down to a righty, that's when I get messed up. And like, you know, whether it's a cutter, whether it's a slider, I mean, whatever they want to call it, they can call it. But in my head, I call it a cutter because that's what helps me think fastball with it. And then the action on it is the action.
So I don't want you to come out of games, and you don't need to say anything. Don't want to get you in trouble. But there's like when Katse comes out to get you, I go, no, leave him in. Let him keep going. And I know you want to go deep into games. But how do you prepare to get through a lineup once, twice, a third time, and to always keep them on their toes?
Yeah, so we'll use yesterday, for instance. Like I faced Boston 2 weeks ago. And my game plan going into Boston, from the results base, like they were on a lot of my stuff. And like, granted, like I didn't have my best cutter that day, and that's one thing that I knew going into that start yesterday. And that's a weapon that I kind of had in my back pocket where they haven't seen my best cutter that I had. And yesterday I had a pretty good one. And just being able to kind of take a step back and reevaluate the game from a clear mindset, where it's like, okay, like what did I do that gave me success during this game with Boston here? What did I do well? Okay, like this is what I did. What did they do well against me? And now you start, it's kind of like a pros and cons list, right? Okay, this is what worked for me. This is what they are on. So now how can we incorporate what worked for me into a new game plan while still being able to use certain pitches that didn't work well for me, if that makes sense? Where it's like maybe it's a sequencing thing. Maybe it's like, you know, maybe we're getting too predictable out there. Like just being able to kind of break down like that and look at an outing instead of it being like, oh, bad outing or good outing. Like being able to honestly like sit down and think about your outing and realize that, you know, every outing you're going to have good pitches. Every outing you have bad pitches. Like whether those bad pitches beat you, who knows? You know, but good pitches can beat you sometimes. But for me, it's just being able to see what worked against the team and what didn't work and why did that not work. Because it's not like your pitches are good. Like your pitches work, you know, but it's like, you know, was I too predictable? Did I set it up correctly? Or like what did I do the same exact sequence to that guy as I did the guy on deck and the guy on deck beat me? You know, just things like that where like it's so much game inside of a game, and I feel like in the past I would get so wrapped up in like, oh, like I went out there and gave up 5 runs, bad outing, you know, and it's like, yeah, you don't want to sit there and think or dwell on bad outings, but there are positives in every single outing that you have. Whether it's you go out and get 2 outs and you give up 8 runs, you'll still find a positive in that. You probably don't want to think about it, but there are positives at every single outing that I feel like a lot of people get away from when there's bad results there, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, I mean, you got to have positivity, because in this game you can find a whole lot of negative and it can drown you, and it's tough to get out of that mindset. And that's where I want to get into the mental side. I think about when we talked to you down at spring training, Ho-Ho Cam, and this was about you making the ball club and excited and you're healthy, you know, healthy, which was great for you, to where we are today where you're going out to win. You're going out to win games against elite teams and elite lineups. Talk about the mentality of where you were in Arizona to where you are now.
So coming into spring training, like, I didn't have any options left. Like, it was make or break. Like, either I make the team or I'll get DFA'd again, and who knows what happens from there. But I tried not to think of it like that. I tried to think of it as, like, this is my 10th spring training, I think. Like, I know what I need to do to get my body ready at this point. And I allowed spring training to kind of be that for me. I didn't come into spring training adding pressure on myself, like, I need to come and make a team. I need to come and make a team. I stayed within myself, and I trusted that the work that I put in every single day and the mindset that I bring every day will ultimately get me to that goal. And then when the season started, it was more of like, okay, like, it was like a checklist, right? Okay, first box, like, check. Made a team out of spring. Now it's like, what can I do to prove people wrong? You know, like, I feel like there's been a lot of times, like, when I've added so much pressure on myself on the field that I didn't allow myself to be myself out there, and where, like, I'd have so many different things going on, whether it's like stress of, like, not letting runs score, whether it's like stress of, you know, throwing strike, whatever it may be, like, there, I feel like I added so much unneeded stress to myself in the past, and just being able to kind of come in with, like, I'm going to prove you wrong mindset, and, you know, what's the worst that can happen? You know, like, I've been DFA'd. I've gone through all that. Like, I've essentially been fired, per se. You know, and I work to get back here. So it's like, what do I have to lose? Like, go out there and be yourself. And, like, at least if you lose, like, have them beat you. Don't beat yourself, and, like, don't overthink it. And that's just kind of where I've been this year.
You know, one thing that I'm not good at is just sticking with what I can control. I want to control other things, and then it takes me back to Jim Harbaugh. He used to always say, control the controllables. And for a pitcher, and I think of Frankie going tonight, I got these numbers, how the team just does not score with him on the mound. And it sucks. How is a pitcher, you're out on the mound, team hasn't scored for you, you give up a run or two, and, oh, God, here we go. How do you not get down and not worry about how the offense is performing and just control truly what you can control?
Yeah, you know, kind of like what you said, control what you can control.
And easier said than done.
It is very easier said than done. And like I said, when things are going good, it's a lot easier to control what you control. When things are going bad, like, you have little things that will frustrate you. But, like, I look, as far as, like, runs go, like, it is what it is, right? It's a game of baseball. Like, those guys are good. We're good. Like, it's essentially like who's better on that day, essentially. And it's honestly, like, it's for me to control the controllables, per se, it's just a pitch by pitch basis. Like, whether, you know, you, as a starting pitcher, your job is essentially to keep your team in the game, you know? And, like, if you go six innings, you go seven innings, and you come out and it's 2-0, like, you essentially did your job, right? Like, granted, like, would you rather come out when your team's ahead? Of course, everyone would. But I think just being able to realize that, like, what your job actually is as a starting pitcher, you know, your job is to push the pace. Your job is to create soft contact, keep your defense involved, and keep your team in the game, you know? And like you said, the controllables, like, you're not up there grabbing a bat. You know, you're not hitting. You're not doing that. So, like, that's out of your hands. And the more you think about that, the more that creeps into your mind, and it'll stress you out. When it's like, oh, I got a guy lead off double, can't let him score. You know, you can't be out there in a game and think that, because I'll tell you what, that guy's gonna score. As soon as you start thinking I can't let this guy score, walk, base hit. Now you got guys at second and third with no outs, and now it's like, okay, now you have to try and stop a snowball, which is very hard to do. But Yeah, for me, honestly, it's a pitch by pitch basis, and you know, I have faith in our offense, complete faith in our offense. Every time they go out there, you know, we've put up crooked numbers this year, and it can happen at any point. So it's just one of those things where, you know, you kind of stay in your own lane and you worry about what you can control.
All right, two more. I know you got to go, but two more. Number one thing for you in between starts that you have to do.
Oh man, I keep the same routine. Like when things are going well, I keep the same routine. So like today, day after a pitch, I'll run 20 minutes. I'll do a lower body lift, do some treatment in the training room. You know, tomorrow will be a side day for me. I honestly probably bullpens. Like I know throughout a season, everyone's kind of different. And, like, some guys will skip a bullpen here and there because it's a long year. But, like, for me, like, just being able to get on the mound and feel myself coming down the mound, feel my hand out in front, like, just seeing how my pitches are reacting, for me, that's something that I always have to do in between starts. Like, I'm not gonna take, you know, a rotation off from getting off the mound. Like, to me, that's just prep work for me. So if that kind of answers your question.
Any superstitions?
Yeah, I have pizza before the night I pitch. Every time.
I mean, that's not a bad one to have.
Every time.
You're not going to – that's not a bad – some people have some crazy. Pizza's not bad. All right, let's end on this because we were just talking to Jonah Bride, and I said, you know what, you're an inspiration, man. I mean, you're a 23rd round pick, a senior who had to sign – who's just saying, you know what, don't have to go get a job yet. Go play. Next thing you know, he's in the big leagues. But I think about you. You're a Bay Area kid playing on a Bay Area team. There's a lot of young players out there who are looking up to you as an inspiration who can say, hey, listen, if he could do it, I can do it. What does it mean for you as a guy that watched baseball games here as a kid to now playing on this field, knowing that you got all these kids in the East Bay who can look up to you?
No, it's an awesome feeling. You know, as an athlete, I feel like sometimes you don't get as wrapped up in it as you kind of should for like younger generations and like kids, and like, you know, I try to sign as many autographs as I can for kids because I remember coming to a park and asking for autographs and no one would sign. So like I try to take care of the kids out here. I know it's very important. You know, I guess a message for, like, younger kids would be, honestly, always believe in yourself. And, like, when times are tough, like, you're going to get through it, you know. And, like, you know, at a young age, I would say to play as many sports as you can. And I feel like nowadays too many kids are kind of pinholed into one or two sports, one sport athletes at too young. And I feel like growing up, I played every sport besides football. My dad wouldn't let me play football, but I played every sport. And I just feel like it helps with your body awareness. It helps with, you know, learning how to work as a team. It helps just being able to build a group together, even that, you know, maybe it's 6 or 7 years old. That's not really that kid's goal, but like later on in life, you'll realize that like those team atmospheres, it's what helps you get along with people just in life, like being able to you know, connect with someone or whatnot. Like, but yeah, to me, it's honestly just always believe in yourself no matter what you do. Dreams do come true.
What do you have to have on that pizza, by the way?
Pepperoni and pineapple.
All right. I was going to ask you, Cody, what are yours? I'm an all meat guy. I go the meat lovers. What do you got to have on your pizza?
Sometimes I don't mind pineapple. Buffalo chicken's fine. Buffalo or barbecue chicken.
I can't do black olives.
Yeah, no, that's people like anchovies. Not for me.
No anchovies. I can do olives though. I can do olives. Not like strict olives. I'll do like a combination.
Yeah.
I won't go like just regular olives, but I don't mind olives on pizza.
The controversial one is pineapple. Do you like that? Yes or no?
Yeah, he said it. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Pepperoni, that matters.
Pepperoni and pineapple.
There you go. Because a lot of people get on me for liking pineapple on my pizza.
I know, but then people try it and they're like,
"Yeah, this is actually pretty good."
It's pretty good, yeah. Right? Yeah.
What do you do on the road?
I order it.
Is there a spot? Do you like search out spots?
So this started. It started in when I was in Myrtle Beach, so 2015. And I had a terrible first half. And one night we were on the road, long bus trip, got in late, and I ordered a Domino's pizza. And I ordered pepperoni and pineapple. And I went out there and I went like seven innings, gave up like a hit or two. And I'm like, man, we're rolling with this.
The streak is born.
And then I did it again and I had a good outing. Did it again and then just kind of stuck with me. So like it started off as dominoes and like it's kind of now it's just kind of turned into to whatever I can find on DoorDash or like local pizza spot by the hotel on the road. Like it's just kind of turned into that. But it's always pizza day before I pitch.
You know what it is? It's time for us to get a pizza sponsor for Paulie Winday. That's my new mission. I'll be bringing you some business.
All right.
Hey,
I
great stuff as always. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
What a season he has had. And also, how about Jonah Bride? We heard so much that when he comes up, you're going to love him. The more you watch him play, you're going to appreciate his game. And that's no question. We have seen that. Here is A's third baseman, second baseman, Jonah Bride. Jonah Bride is with us here on A's Cast Live. I'm Chris Townsend.
Jonah Bride, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Talking about the Warriors having a hell of a ride in Boston, how about yourself making your debut, saw the family there and friends. What was that like?
Yeah, it was definitely a really special moment for me, something I've always dreamed about. And to do it in Fenway, it makes it even more special. And to have my family and my best friends there, it was awesome.
So when you roll out there and you're in the lineup, just put the mic a little bit closer. So when you roll out there and you're just tell us what the feeling was like that, man, not only it's a historic Fenway Park, but your dreams. You've had this dream since you were a kid and you're playing in the big leagues. What was going through your mind?
You know, there was definitely nerves going into it on that flight after I got the call. But when we went out for BP and stuff, I think everything kind of slowed down for me a little bit. And I got a great group of guys around me that were definitely giving me lots of confidence and telling me it's just baseball. I mean, it's hard to just say that, but but definitely throughout the game, just helped me calm my nerves. I had a great time.
Hey, you've been around it. It's not a shocker. Yeah. I mean, you're a 23rd round pick. 23rd round picks normally don't get that.
Yeah.
And I bet when you signed, you didn't think you were like, hey, I'm done with school. I want to keep playing. See how long. I mean, pretty special your journey. Just talk about what you thought when you signed, and then to where you are today, talking to me on a big league field.
You know, I mean, when I got signed, it was a senior sign. Yeah, I mean, I wanted opportunity at that point, but growing up and stuff, just always feeling like I was overlooked. Someone telling you can't do something. Just makes it that more special, just getting that opportunity. And just everywhere I go, I want to continue to prove people wrong. And so it's special to be here in Oakland, and I want to do anything I can to help this team win.
You know, we joke all the time. I don't like it how we have so many different guys down in the bullpen. We have way too many pitchers. But what that means is less guys on the bench. You took it upon yourself to learn how to catch. Now you're showing versatility. You can play all over the diamond. That helps you and helps you get to the big leagues. Talk about making that change, knowing that the more gloves you have in your bag, the better chance you got.
Yeah, I mean, I was approached last year about it by my manager, Bobby Crosby, that the idea had been thrown around a little bit. And so, I mean, I said, yeah, I'm absolutely willing to go to Instructional League, and went to Instructional League, and then got the opportunity to play in the Fall League as well and catch a bunch of great guys. Getting to see the different stuff. I mean, it continues to get better and better. So maybe not be catching out here yet, but whenever I can, get the opportunity to go down to the bullpen and continue to catch these guys and try to better my skills back there and get more comfortable.
How much catching had you done before that?
Yeah, I've never been a catcher. I think when I was 8 or 9 years old, there was one guy that was throwing hard, so I would just go back there and catch him. But that was more of just like rec ball and everyone just out there having a good time.
Dude, that's crazy that in pro ball, I'm going to learn how to catch in pro ball.
Yeah. So
that just doesn't happen.
Bunch of great people around the A's organization putting that hope in me and just putting that trust. And they've stuck with me. And the same way as like teammates, they're all very supportive of me. They don't expect me to be perfect. It's definitely going to be taking time, but you got to continue to put in the work, and I'm willing to do that.
So how does it help you, I don't know, as a hitter defensively? Because when you're a catcher, you're the only one looking out at everybody, and everybody's looking at you. It's a completely mm-hmm. different perspective of the game. Has it helped you as a defender? Has it helped you offensively? What has learning catching done for you?
I would say in the box, you definitely – thinking more about what the catcher might want to call here. Not that you're always going to be right, but it definitely helps you just get a good perspective of the game. You're locked in on every pitch. So I enjoy that. I mean, it's when you're catching, it's more when I get to the dugout, I'm not really thinking about my at-bat or my next at-bat as much as I am just going back out there for the next inning and trying to catch a good game and build a relationship with those pitchers. So, yeah, it's completely different, but it's something that I've enjoyed.
Okay, so Ed Sprague had this unbelievable quote about you that they aired in the or they put on The Athletic, and I'm not sure if you saw it, but he says that you have the ability to use the entire bat. And it's this long quote where he's talking about how you can hit it off the hands. It can be a squibber. It can be in the gap. It can be a home run. I've never heard anybody where they said he can use the entire bat. What does that mean for you?
Yeah, I hadn't seen that actually. I mean, I just try to pride myself on going up there and taking a good at bat. That's going to be quality for the team, whether that's move someone over, drive them in, hit a gap. I mean, and I really try not to strike out. So, yeah, I mean, I might not always be right on the barrel, but I've just tended to be able to find holes, and I hope I can continue to do that as well.
Well, and just watching you hit, you know, being able to make contact is a big deal these days. It's hard to believe we're even talking about that, but,
yeah.
You know, so for you being a contact guy, how has the adjustment to velocity when we struggle to make contact, that's something that's been a strength of your game?
You know, I think it's just crazy how the game's evolved, even since I've came into pro ball. These guys nowadays are all throwing 95, 98, and they're throwing their slider more than they're throwing their fastball. And so that makes it much more difficult. But, yeah, I mean, when you get a fastball, I mean, that's definitely the one that I want to try to get out there and get a hold of.
Were you seeing that because in college? Because we're now watching the College World Series, we're seeing so many guys throwing 97, 98.
Yeah.
Was that happening when you're in college?
I mean, you wouldn't see too much 97, 98, to be honest. And that was only – I graduated in 2018. I mean, there would be a couple teams or a couple guys on a team that would maybe run it up there, but majority of the guys probably – 92, 95 tops, with good stuff, but it's definitely just crazy how far this game has come.
Yeah, this is something as people are watching on YouTube and Twitter, that's just crazy, is that, yes, you've got guys throwing close to triple digits, but yet still throw, whether it's cutter, slider, mm-hmm. more than they do fastball. As a hitter or a catcher, is that crazy to you?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely times where someone's going to be like nasty and you're going to have to look for one pitch. And, I mean, there's definitely going to be times where you have to tip your cap. I mean, these guys have the best stuff in the world, and they're here for a reason. And so it's a grind every single at-bat, and you got to take pride in it and, yeah, continue to do that.
Now, you wore one off the chest, and it broke the chain. How's the chain?
The chain is actually broke, yeah. So I'm going to have to go get a new one.
Yeah, because it was hit pretty hard, and you wore it. It was great. Yeah. But then all of a sudden when you saw the chain, I'm like, wow, it was hit so hard it broke the chain.
Yeah, I actually didn't notice that at the time. And then I was just walking back over to the third base and looked down, and I just see it hanging down. And, yeah, see his chain.
Yeah, we had Mark Kotze on earlier today, and he talked about that tough throw you had at Fenway Park. But he said, you know, when he came out to talk to the pitcher, he said to you, hey, next one's coming to you. What did that mean to you to have the skipper have mm-hmm. your back?
Yeah, I've talked about it a lot with guys around the clubhouse and then even family, friends, when we talk about it. Just to have that hope and give a guy confidence. Obviously, that was tough for me to make that bad throw and the game going the way it was. I mean, that's all that was on my mind. Like, I didn't want to be the reason that we lost that game. And so winning that game was huge. And the confidence that they gave me, they were all hitting me, saying you're good. Yeah, so getting that win, being able to talk about it after, that was my first moment where I was like, oh, goodness. Just got to slow it down and just play the game that you've always played. And I'm looking forward to getting back out there tonight.
How nice is it going to be in Oakland, settle into a clubhouse, be able to relax a little bit, and not have all the hoopla of the whole family and the debut and everything?
Yeah, I think it'll be cool. I mean, I know everyone's going to be watching, but – I mean, it's always been that way. I've got a great group around me of family and friends. People are always there for me. So, yeah, it's going to be great to play here at this stadium and in front of the fans and get settled in, like you said.
And let's end on this. You know, there's a lot of us out there, guys who played college, played high school, who had the dream mm-hmm. and just knew, it's not going to happen.
What do you say to these kids as a 23rd round pick, a senior you sign? What do you tell these guys about never giving up and never losing that dream until they rip the uniform off you?
Yeah, I mean, that's everything right there, like you said. I mean, it's – I told you growing up that I was always – I was never big enough. I was never fast enough, never strong enough. And so just to have that hope in myself and the family, the great coaches, teammates I've had that have always believed in me, and putting that trust in yourself. I mean, anyone can do it, and you can never give up, and no one can take that away from you, and just continue to work your butts off. Do whatever you can to continue to go through the ladder, and it's not going to be easy, that's for sure.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're a true inspiration, and we're going to be rooting like hell for you because it's a great story.
That means
a lot. And congratulations getting here. It's awesome. We're going to cover every minute of it and really enjoy it. So
Absolutely.
It was nice to meet
Thanks
you.
So
we'll
much.
Have you on again.
Absolutely.
We got more coming up next right here on A's Cast Live. From one great story to another, Jared Koenig has had a long road to the big leagues, but to finally get here and to get that win on his first start in Oakland on Father's Day was so special. Here is the A's left-hander. Jared Koenig now joins us, and I think this is going to be an interesting interview for me because I've actually known you. Look how tall you are now. You were like a little kid the last time I think we talked.
Yeah.
As I've known your dad for many, many years. Mm-hmm. And I remember him talking about you're going to have a chance to play college baseball as you grew up there over the hill over 17. And you're like, okay, he's going to be a big-time prospect. And hearing about your journey and the fact that you're here now, it's truly an amazing story. I'm so happy for you, happy for your family. I think Father's Day was so incredible. Just what has this run been like for you and the family?
I mean, yeah, it's been incredible to say the least. A lot of perseverance went into this, and to continue the dream and support from the family and mom and dad especially. And it's been awesome.
And to get your first career win here in the Bay Area and your dad, Father's Day in the stands, Greg, just what was that like?
That was awesome. It was a special moment to be able to do that. And, I mean, have him here is even better for my third start. And just to be able to pitch well, pitch somewhat more like I'm used to for myself, and to go out and give the team a chance, and then – to be lucky to get a win, and then to do it on Father's Day, just even better.
You know, your first two starts, let's be honest, two of the hottest teams, I've been going through my notes, two of the hottest teams in baseball continue to be the Atlanta Braves and the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah.
On the road, packed houses. I mean, that's adversity right there with obviously a team like the A's that's struggling. What were those two experiences like for you?
I think they were great. The experience was awesome. It's great to learn. Yeah, I'm getting thrown into the fire and having to deal with it. I thought I competed really well in both aspects of the games. I didn't quite throw as well as I would have liked, but I think I competed. I think I showed a little more gumption and just the tenacity to want to compete and be out there. And yeah,
whether it's Kotze or it's Emerson, you know, because at any point you can come up, you can have that start, you don't throw exactly the way you want it, boom, you can get sent back down immediately.
Yeah.
Right? You got a ton of options. So what did they say to you after both those starts that you knew you were going to get the ball again and then again?
I think that after the first one, I think on the news he had just said that I was going to get another start, and then the next day he came up to me and just talked to me and asked me like kind of what I thought, what I'm learning about, and then he said, well, just make sure you're ready, continue to start and get ready for Boston. And then after the next one, I'm not sure how that one came about, but I think the next day, same thing, just get ready for Kansas City. That's usually what he comes up to me during BP or before warm-ups and says, hey, keep going, you're throwing great, keep grinding out there, and we know you can do this.
Now take us through the journey where whether you're pitching overseas, you're pitching an independent ball, at that point, do you ever really still have the dream that you're going to pitch in Major League Baseball? Or did you always believe you could be that guy?
I always believed I could be that guy. Reality would tend to set in a little more with just me getting older. Mainly the factor was just getting older and like, all right, my time's running out in a sense. And then it's like, I gotta start making an actual living to where I can not have to live at home and be able to live on and be able to do things on my own. And I got some other things I'd like to do, expensive hobbies, hunting and shooting. So it's like, there's other things I'd like to support for myself that I would want to continue to do that, but fortunate, stuck with it, and I got this opportunity, and I'm grateful for it.
I try and tell people all the time, you know, when you're not a bonus baby, and as you get older, there are some tough conversations, whether you got a wife, parents, or whoever saying, you know what, maybe this path isn't for you. You gave it a good shot. We love you. Now it's time to get a job, go get a career. And you want to always have the mentality, you want to wait to have the uniform ripped off you, right, to
yes.
your force in.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm so proud of you, is that you could have left easily.
Yeah.
And no one would have said a thing.
No.
I think you, I think Jonah Bride, I think Christian Bethencourt, I think guys like you are an inspiration to young players to let them know. You got the rest of your life to work.
Yeah.
Trust me. You got the rest of your life, kids, to work. I think what you've done is an inspiration. What does that mean to you if I say that?
That means a lot. I think that's kind of my goal, is just to be an influence, a good influence for someone to continue to learn, continue to grind, to believe in yourself, and to go after what you really want, and kind of never stop going after what you love. And that's kind of what I've done. I've been fortunate to be at least supported by my family with a roof, and then I can work and cover the rest myself for the most part and go from there.
You know, talking about the difference, everybody says, well, what is it like? You know, it's the big league level. And it's like, well, sometimes when you're pitching down in Vegas and you're pitching in – he's got a big smile. He knows what I'm talking about. You're pitching in dry weather. You're pitching in the desert. You're pitching in elevation. All these places are horrific to pitch in, and these places are band boxes. The balls are flying out. Coming to pitch on a cold night in Oakland's a whole different ballgame, but yet you're facing a different level hitter. What has the transition just been like for you from AAA to the big leagues? Because both leagues, where you play, atmosphere, ballparks, everything's so different.
I think the biggest thing's just adjusting. The first thing was being in Atlanta, 42,000 fans, and kind of adjusting to that kind of noise and everything around that. The next aspect is paying attention to the hitters, which I was so nervous I could barely think, and being able to watch the hitters, let alone shake off Murphy if I wanted to shake. Not that he was calling a bad game. I just wasn't – like, I wasn't in the right mind to where I could think about it. Like, I had so much else going on, it felt like pressure. And then realizing that the hitters don't swing and miss as much, and then they recognize just a touch sooner the pitches, and they're able to hold up a little sooner versus getting, like, that kind of half swing that goes through. So that's been kind of the learning aspect with all of that.
Yeah, I've noticed you struck out a lot more batters down there than you have here. That's definitely been a difference.
Yeah, that's been a difference, and I think that tends to happen whenever I start. I just have to learn and figure out how to get the guys out again with strikeout pitches. But it's a constant learning game and adjusting and building off of each past experience.
Yeah, I love how when people make their debuts, everybody's like, you know, just do what you do, breathe, relax. And your heart's about to pop out of your chest.
I mean,
when you're up there in Atlanta, I mean, obviously they're the defending world champions. You know all the names of their players. Take us through making that debut, and, like, you probably can't catch your breath. You got dry mouth. It's humid.
Yeah, the humidity was a big factor. I mean, I haven't thrown in much humidity other than last year in the Texas League. And a little bit in independent ball in different areas, but it was extremely humid, and it was one of the muggier days that I think they've had to start the year, the baseball season. And I mean, it's a great lineup, and trying to breathe was a task in itself, just trying to breathe.
And now where we are, you got your first victory, you now got a few starts, you're kind of, you know, I wouldn't say you're totally used to it, but you're getting used to it. Just, what does it mean to you that you could be doing this for, we'll just say whether you were the Giants here, but any of the 28 other teams, you don't care, right? You're the big leagues. But to do it basically at home. Not a lot of guys ever get to play at home. What's that like?
It's something special. I mean, I grew up coming to here coming to these games, and I mean going to Giants games obviously too, but here was a little cheaper, a little easier to get to sometimes, and you can get honestly better seats just because there's a few less fans here. But being here is awesome. Like that's, I mean the fans have always been supportive, and then being able to come here and then play, and I mean I can tell you where I've sat in the stadium at some point, and
yeah.
I can look at those seats and I'm like, that's I used to be out there and now I'm out here, and
yeah.
It's something special. And yeah, I mean I'm grateful for the opportunity to be here, and can't thank the organization enough for giving me the opportunity.
Yeah, I think over in Aptos and in the Santa Cruz area, you've been on the local news and a lot. It's been big news that he's made the big leagues.
Yeah.
What has that been like for, you know, we know the family and we've seen family. I've been texting with your dad and, you know, obviously seeing your family in the stands in the games. But just friends you grew up with, everybody, what's that been like for you?
Yeah, it's been hectic. After I pitch every time now, it seems like I'm on my phone for the rest of the day or into the next day, and just it's like I'm trying to answer everyone to not be disrespectful, but I think sooner or later I'm just gonna have to just like let it go, because it's a lot to take in, and kind of keeps me up trying to feel good about, because I'm getting back to them, other than feeling bad and just leaving on red. But it gets a lot to manage, but my friends have been awesome and they've been supportive and reached out, and all of them. I got to see a couple of them yesterday on the off day, which was nice.
Yeah, no doubt. Finally be here, have an off day, relax a little bit. Going now, as you're going to head in your fourth, fifth, and sixth starts, what's the key in between starts for you to keep the mind and the body right?
I think just to keep doing what I've been doing and keep building off of each start, like I said, and with that, not trying to overload myself with information and kind of just keep everything as simple as possible, but detailed at the same time.
How much video do you watch?
I'd say probably a couple hours worth in general over spurts. Nothing. I mean, my attention span to pay attention to stuff like that for 20 to 30 minutes at a time is tough. So it's like 10, 15-minute spurts, and probably over 5 days I'll look at the video and some hitters and kind of build off of that, look at swing and miss, look at contact, and really that's about it.
Well, you're in the big leagues, man. Yeah. You're when you tell people you're living a dream, you are living a dream.
Yeah, I'm in the big leagues. I mean, can't complain about that one bit, and no one can really ever take that away from me. I've been a big leaguer now, so.
Well, ever since you got to AAA, we're like, man, if he ever makes it up, this will be great. Because yeah. I haven't met you when you were a little kid and following your story. And like I said, your story is very inspirational. And every start, every win, it gets better. And your story gets better.
Yeah.
And a lot of people will look up to you. And I mean, no pressure that way, but just that it just shows you what you've done can show people there is a path. It just can't. Not everybody has to be a first-round draft pick. Not everybody has to be a bonus baby. It's believe in your dreams,
mm-hmm.
and your dreams can come true.
Exactly. Yeah. Believe in yourself, trust yourself, and continue to go after what you want.
Well, it's an honor to have you on the program. Good luck
to
you.
Thank you.
We got more coming up next right here on A's Cast Live. We'd like to thank Paul Blackburn, Jonah Bride, and Jared Koenig for joining us on A's Cast Live. We hope you enjoyed A's Unfiltered. Now back to A's Cast, powered by iHeartRadio.
This has been a presentation of the Oakland Athletics.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.